Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York invites you to Be the Informed Patient with the podcast that features experts from Central New York's only academic medical center. I'm your host, Amber Smith. High blood pressure can lead to stroke, heart attack, kidney damage, and other problems. Many people struggle to control their high blood pressure with lifestyle modifications and medications. They have what's known as resistant hypertension. An endovascular surgeon at Upstate now offers a procedure to help lower high blood pressure. Dr. Wei Li is an associate professor of surgery at Upstate, and he's here to tell us about renal denervation. Welcome back to The Informed Patient, Dr. Li.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you for the nice introduction.
Well, let's start with a description of what blood pressure is and why it's an important measure of our health. What is a healthy blood pressure number?
The healthy blood pressure numbers in the United States, according to the national guideline, anything above 130 or 80 are considered hypertension. And according to many studies, in the nation, 1 in 2 Americans suffer hypertension in our lifetime.
So the blood pressure reading, does this kind of tell us how well our arteries are working? Is that what we use it for?
That's correct. Not only tell us how well our arteries system is working, also tell us how much blood flow and if there's any potential damage to our end organs, meaning brain, heart, kidneys, can benefit or can be harmed by the blood flow perfusion. If the blood pressure is too high, will damage our heart, in the brain, kidney, and even more with hypertension, certain patients unfortunately cause mortality as a result of heart failure or stroke. Some of them are related to hypertension.
So why do some people get high blood pressure or hypertension? What causes that?
It's a long story. Hypertension can be caused with many, many reasons. And there are two different categories. One is the primary hypertension. I think majority of hypertension patients belong to that category. The second one we call secondary hypertension. Very few people statistically belong to that category. I think today's topic, we mainly talk about primary hypertension that could be potentially treated with renal denervation, which is a new technology. The U.S. FDA approved recently in November last year.
So that is for people whose hypertension is uncontrolled with multiple medications and with multiple lifestyle modifications. Mm-hmm. They still have high blood pressure. And so now the FDA has approved this new procedure. What can you tell us about it? What's it called and how does it work?
This new procedure actually started around 8-7 years ago, and the current device are second generations, and there are two manufacturers make this device. The current generation, according to the FDA clinical trial, both devices can, you know, in average, lower the blood pressure, systolic blood pressure, we call SBP, by 10 millimercury. As a background information, in a big journal notable to any medical professionals published in 2016, a reduction of 10 millimercury in systolic blood pressure is associated with substantial or significant risk reductions. For example, 28% reduction of heart failure, 27% reduction of stroke, 17% reduction of coronary disease, meaning heart vessel disease, and 5% reduction for chronic kidney failure. And the most important thing is 13% reduction for mortality by even as less as 10 millimeter mercury, 10 point of blood pressure drop in SBP, we call systolic blood pressure. So that's the benefit and the very significant benefit that could potentially offer by these two newer generation of renal denervation devices.
Those numbers do sound significant. How safe is the procedure and are there any risks?
Like any other newer minimally invasive procedure, they all have a risk. However, the benefit at the current time, based on the clinical trial and also my personal experience, the benefit always the risks. However, we always consider risk for any procedure, even for a small procedure like, hernia repair, gallbladder removal, they all have a risk. But I think for this particular procedure, is generally speaking, considered low risk procedure, can be done with local anesthesia, moderate sedation without going to the operating room. And we can do what we call in the cath lab, and patient come in the same day in the morning and then finish the procedure and then to be discharged on the same day.
So Dr. Lee, I understand you're the principal investigator of studies for ReCor Medical, the maker of this renal denervation device. What does that role involve?
That role involved actually a post-market study. The study is considered to get the real world experience after the FDA approved the devices. And I was selected as the PI for this study. And actually for this year, the study organizer only picked about 30 PIs or institutions to be part of the study. And I was honored to be selected as the only vascular surgeon PI among these 30 PIs in this study. And of course, Upstate is one of the 30 sites, first batch of the 30 sites and to be in this study. That means what? Meaning we are able to offer the not only the commercial use of the device to treat non-controlled hypertension or resistant hypertension. Also, as an institution, as my study group, we'll be able to contribute the real world experience in terms of this study. This is significantly important compared to the pre-approval study population because this is a real world experience on the general public.
So that's really an important role to be a principal investigator for anything, but for this in particular. So can you walk us through what patients will experience? How would a person be determined to be a candidate for this procedure?
There are three different indications or criteria for a patient to be selected to be indicated for this procedure. And the first one will be patient on three blood pressure medications with maximum dose they can tolerate and still cannot meet the goal of blood pressure of 130 over 80. And the second group of patients who are indicated procedure are the ones, the patient, for whatever reason, they cannot have a good compliance with the medication they were given. For example, maybe because of the side effects, maybe because the patient's personal reason, for example, frequent travelers cannot take the water pills every day, for example, because if that's the case, they have to go to the bathroom frequently, right? And then and some of them in the second group, a lot of them are working age group patient. They cannot tolerate the side effect. And then at the end of the day, between the work and life, they end up non-controlled hypertension. The third one, the group for the patient who have non-controlled hypertension about 130 or 80, and those group patients already suffer the complication from their hypertension. For example, they already had stroke, they already had heart attack, already have kidney issues, but luckily they still can survive at this time. But I think the renal denervation offer a good adjunct treatment for all three groups in addition to the blood pressure medications. I want to make it clear the renal denervation procedure is not designed as a sole treatment for hypertension. They are designed as adjunct treatment, which is the first ever minimally invasive treatment of hypertension in addition to conventional, traditional medication. Most of them are pills.
So the patient may still require some medications, is what you're saying, after the procedure?
Yes, that's exactly correct. For example, my first patient was on four medications, still couldn't get control. And my first time I saw him, I remember his blood pressure was 190 or 89. And the second time I saw him, the blood pressure was 180 or 86. That was about 4 months apart. And he was very active, involved with his cardiologist, general cardiologist, to get pressure control, but was not able to over 4 months. And then at the same time, he had another aortic pathology, which gave him additional risk factor in terms if the blood pressure is not controlled. So after procedure, he was normal 10-6, blood pressure about 120 over 70s. As a result, I actively reached out to his cardiologist even from day zero on the same day of surgery to coordinate the care. And at the current time, he not only reduced from 4 to 2 medications, but even the 2 medications he has right now, I was told by him and the family and his cardiologist, those 2 medications now he's taking with reduced dose. We all know the less medication, the less side effect, and the lower dose, the better in terms not only side effect and also overall, given the magnitude of hypertension. And if you take the population as a whole, that procedure itself will offset some of the healthcare expenditures for the long run.
This is Upstate's The Informed Patient Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Smith. I'm talking with Dr. Wei Li. He's an associate professor of surgery at Upstate, and he's the first vascular surgeon, not just in Upstate New York, but globally, to perform the ultrasound renal denervation on a patient after the FDA approval. So patients who have uncontrolled high blood pressure, they may be referred to you by their primary care doctor or their nephrologist or a cardiologist, and then they come to you. And once you determine that they're a good candidate for this procedure and they decide they want to do it, can you walk us through how it's actually done?
We gave the patient a material about the procedure. We have a very detailed, we call in medicine or surgery, we call informed consent, with the heavy involvement of the patient, not only patient, but also family, because they need to understand what the procedure is, because this group of patients, a lot of them are relatively healthy. We'll make sure they understand the risk benefit. And once the patient understands the procedure, once we determine the patient's a good fit for the procedure, and then we start planning.
So the procedure takes about an hour. It takes place in the hospital. Is the patient awake for this, or are they under anesthesia?
Patient is awake, and I can have the conversation with the patient, because sometimes as the patient holds breathing out and relaxing. In the procedure, of course, we give local anesthesia, just like we go to dental office, right? We give inject local anesthesia to make a patient more comfortable. We give something called moderate sedation, meaning patient not sleep, but we give some medication to make patient comfortable as much as possible, remove their anxiety, for example. At the same time, they are alert. They can have a conversation with the providers. It's considered all patient procedure, patient admitted in the morning and discharged after procedure, you know, in this case, early in the afternoon.
Now, you said it's minimally invasive. So where is it's a single incision that you make. Is that right?
I would say you can call it single incision, but it's mostly a needle hole. It's about 1.5 millimeter on the skin, and then require no or almost no stitches. And the patient walk out of the hospital on the same day, walking around at the same day.
So you need that so that you can access the artery, and
yes.
Then you insert something that goes, how far down the artery do you go? Before you, because that's how you apply the ultrasound, through this probe or something, right?
Yeah, actually, we use ultrasound for different means. At first, we use ultrasound guidance to access the artery, so we make sure it's minimally invasive. We use a needle at the groin area, only one groin, not two. How far it goes, the catheter wire system go up from the groin to the kidney level, and to the aorta, and around the renal artery. And then we put the catheter system into the renal artery with a careful maneuver. We advance the catheter with a balloon into the renal artery. And we utilize ultrasound as energy. And the energy, this is what they call renal ultrasound-based renal denervation. We use ultrasound as energy to basically ablate or kind of block the nerve surrounding the renal artery, because the nerves surrounding the renal artery are the ones to mediate blood pressure change, because a patient with uncontrolled hypertension somehow the activity of those nerves surrounding renal artery have a higher than average activity. Though we try to decrease the activity of those nerves to block the pathway of hypertension, the circle. So this was done through NAD from the ultrasound, and then of course we use a balloon filled with the water because ultrasound transduce or travel better through the water. The nerve around the renal artery can be treated, and as a result, lower the blood pressure.
So even though the patient has some conscious sedation, can they feel when you're doing this? Can they tell that you're near their kidney when you're doing the work?
Most people don't feel too much. And I think small proportion, and my patient did not feel at all. But according to the pre-FDA approval study, some patients feel some pain in the back. That's why we need good coordination as a team with our nurses at the bedside in during the procedure to give the medication in advance before we trigger the ultrasound energy to treat the nerve. It's individually different. It varies from patient to patient, but overall, it should be tolerable. It should not require major medications for pain. I alert the patient before I start the treatment because it would require 3 activations of ultrasound energy deliveries for each artery. So totally together with about 6 treatment, less than 10 seconds for each treatment, and total together 60 seconds or less. With the trained individual practitioners, and I think this is a good adjunct treatment with minimally invasive technology to treat uncontrolled hypertension, which is a disease over 100 years were treated with pills only.
So how soon after this procedure does the blood pressure lower?
It varies from individual to individual. For this particular patient, the pressure dropped on the table to normal pressure from 170 to 80 all the way down to 120 over 70. Individual response is different from patient to patient. So that's why that's require a lot of coordination among care providers. Depending the level of responsiveness of the patient, we adjust medication accordingly. For the long term, most patients can maintain more than 10 points of blood pressure decrease over long term. After procedure, the pressure as a human body, because the body tried to repair and try to reset back to their status of before the operation, before the procedure, we may expect some of this patient blood pressure may slowly back up a little bit, right? But I think based on the study we have prior to FDA approval, the study still suggested that the long-term blood pressure reduction is still there. And as a result, we'll significantly reduce the complications from the hypertension.
Do we know how long the denervation will last? Will those nerves kind of renervate?
So at this time, based on the study, the FDA indication and suggestions are we only do 1 time per patient lifetime for renal denervation. And then that means based on all the study published from the clinical trial prior to FDA approval for both devices, actually, the FDA does not suggest do a second time renal denervation with either devices. That's based on the study we have so far. But because this new device less than 1/2 year ago, long term, I think rely on physicians and rely on the post-market study, which I'm one of the PI Nathan to confirm or to revise the indication if there is a change in terms of long term result.
I know that you said, Dr. Lee, the patient may end up needing to still take their blood pressure medicine, but different dosages or fewer meds maybe. Are there other restrictions after the procedure for patients? Does this impact what they can and can't do?
For the short term, immediate after procedure, of course, like any other procedure, like hernia repair or gallbladder removal, patients, I always tell the patient active as tolerate and return to work if they're not heavy labor, if the office worker or even moving around their house. I do not have much restrictions. Of course, whenever a patient adjusts medication, patient need to closely watch their blood pressures because whenever there's change on the medications, the blood pressure, the body responds differently from patient to patient. And even the medication decreased by 1/2, I would suggest patient monitor their blood pressure closely than before maybe check the blood pressure at least once per day, and then talk to the providers who gave the medication frequently in case the patient finds their blood pressure fluctuation or decrease or increasing.
I appreciate you making time for this interview, Dr. Lee.
Thank you.
My guest has been Dr. Wei Lee, an associate professor of surgery at Upstate who offers a renal denervation procedure for people with resistant hypertension. The Informed Patient is a podcast covering health, science, and medicine, brought to you by Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York, and produced by Jim Howe. Find our archive of previous episodes at upstate.edu/informed. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend to listen too. And you can rate and review the Informed Patient podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you tune in. This is your host, Amber Smith, thanking you for listening.